Talking with TD. Touchdown, Tennessee! The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. That's right. You are now talking with TD. Man, oh, man, oh, man. We made it through training camp, and now we're spinning forward. This is that little bit of lull time right in between training camp and the start of the season. I'm excited. We got a lot to talk about. We got the roster cutdowns. We got the practice squad. We got Chris Sanders coming in to talk shop, run TMC. We got Parker Kelly with you for the other segments, and there's a lot to get into, man. A lot. So I guess we could start with this because the practice squad was announced on Wednesday and it looks pretty good. I mean, I don't have any complaints. You got Kendall Brooks, Ollie Gay, Cam Horsley, Jamar Jefferson, who he and Jordan Mims, man, those dudes ran tough. Of course, Parker, Mason Kinsey found a way to get back onto the roster. Whether it's practice squad or not, he's in the building. You got Jordan Mims, as I mentioned, Thomas Odokoya, Amani Oruwariye. I know PK is somewhere rejoicing. That's his guy. I say that sarcastically. I like this move.
I knew that had to be sarcastic.
Yeah. I like this move. You got James Prochet, Isaiah Rakes, Xavier Restrepo, Andrew Ruptich, Trevor Siemian, and Carlos Watkins. I like Watkins. I think you look at Watkins, Ruptich, Prochet, and Ali Gay. Those four players, I expect to see get the three call-ups, the max call-ups. I expect to see that for them. If Watkins comes up and plays well, you can see he and Shy Tuttle's flip. There's a lot of things that could happen. I think making the practice squad or being named to the practice squad is still a good thing. You're making solid money, but it's an opportunity to develop and also stick around and maximize one of the chances that should come. So overall, looking at this practice squad, you got Kendall Brooks. You know, he had that interception return at pick six. But what are your thoughts on this group?
I'm just really happy that James Prochet is at least being kept on the practice squad because he was without a doubt, the biggest surprise that was initially cut. I think of a situation like Bryce Oliver, who was on the practice squad last year, and he just kept showing up. And then when it came around to this training camp and this offseason, there was no doubt in anyone's mind that he was going to make the 53. So sometimes these guys just need it's not to say that their NFL careers are over because they'll still be making good money. They're still technically with the team. And maybe they just need a little bit more time to develop, and they'll get their chance eventually.
Yeah, and not only more time, numbers also. You know, sometimes these numbers, the way that they fall out, it doesn't work in your favor, and I think that's what happened with a guy like Prochet, who obviously he wants to be on the active roster. The call-ups are going to come, but you look at DK, Chimere DK, he's a guy you know they want to develop. Do you want to keep seven receivers? Probably not. Who you're going to have active on game day? Like, there's a lot that's going to go into these decisions, and I get it. I get what happened there. Any surprises not on the practice squad?
Corey Ajukwu, Levin.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Corey Levin not on the practice squad. That's a really good one. And I tell you what, when you look at Corey Levin, you know, him not being on the practice squad or the roster or just around period, it tells you two things. Jackson Slater, that's the backup, but more importantly, it tells you next week in Denver, guess who's ready to go?
Lloyd Cushenberry,
that's right.
Ready to go.
So, reading between the lines, that gives you some good vibes. You know, if you're a Titans fan, you want your center, and Lloyd Cushenberry going back to Denver, that's going to be something as well. So, I'm looking forward to seeing that. As we comb through some of the other moves that have been made, I tell you one that I do like, man. I like Rocket Sanders out of South Carolina. He was with the Chargers, but the Browns, they picked him up. Let me see some of the other moves.
That's a big physical back right there.
Yeah, with
Sanders.
Jets. Seeing him personally at the Shrine Week, he was impressive. Chad Muma out of Wyoming, the Colts picked him up. You know, I could see him. Well, it's a different scheme, you got to remember. But that run and hit type of linebacker, you know, they lost EJ Speed, who's now, I believe, in Houston. I forget where. I think he's in Houston. But
That sounds right.
Yeah, but they, you know, they needed to replace him. Juju Brents went to the Dolphins, the Kansas State corner. That's a guy I wanted to see the Titans take a look at, but I know they are very, very, very particular about injuries, and we know he's dealt with a bunch of them, so that's why they went Jalen Armour Davis as opposed to him. Looking at some of these other ones, Trey Palmer, that's a name that came up a lot. You know, the speedy receiver out of Nebraska, playmaker, good yards after catch guy. The Bucs let him go. The Saints signed him, so he stays in the NFC South. Looking at some of these other ones, Jelani Woods, man, he ended up with the Jets. Ended up with the Jets, you know, and that's the power forward at tight end. Swing and a miss by me. I thought he was going to be good, but it just never worked out. Here's one right here. What do you think of a 5'11 center, Parker?
Are you talking about Willie Lampkin?
Oh, Willie Lampkin. Chilly Willie.
Getting a little depth for Cam Jurgens up in Philadelphia.
Hey, let me tell you something. He was down there at the Senior Bowl catching bodies.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he was doing it. But 5'11 center.
He was one of the guys that was coming out of the draft that, like, I didn't expect to go high, but I really liked what he had to show on film.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a good signing by Philadelphia. One of my personal favorites, just kind of combing through the waivers here on Twitter.
Yeah, definitely a good signing. I like that. So, yeah, I mean, great job by the Eagles getting him. Nothing really else stood out significantly to me. I'm just a little surprised at like you mentioned, Corey Levin and John Ajukwu not being on the practice squad. But if those guys are still out there, I would imagine at some point, you know, they'll – get back in the mix, because we know how these teams, they tend to recycle players, though. But any position battles you have questions about now that we're done with camp?
No, I'm more concerned about the corners. I honestly expected Gabe Judy-Lally to make the 53.
Yeah.
And I think by signing two defensive backs and Jalen Amore Davis and Samuel Womack,
yeah,
are you going to keep seven corners on the roster now that Gabe Judy-Lally has been waived? Because I feel like Daryl Baker is going to make the team, or there's no getting rid of him. But what about Marcus Harris? You invested a pick in him. He's the backup nickel to Roger McCreary. Are you going to keep seven? That's a move, personally, I didn't expect to see the Titans sign two corners off waivers.
Well, you know what I think it is? I think that's that luxury spot that you have with Spears. So week five, if I'm one of those guys, like, I'm looking over my shoulder and I'm not trying to go to the coach's office with my playbook. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to have the Grim Reaper come for me. So I think that's kind of the situation with that. I do feel you, though, on the seven corners. I would imagine Womack will probably not be active on game days, but because, you know, that number, that 53, reduces down even further. What about the linebacker battle, the inside backer next to Cody Barton, Cedric Gray, James Williams? Have you come to a conclusion there yet?
I've actually changed my mind, because I've been going back and forth. I've been thinking about this for a while. I think Cedric Gray, now that things have clicked for him, and he's talked to you about this, things have clicked for him, I think he's going to be the starter next to Cody Barton. However, I think we're going to see a heavy rotation, because James Williams has also really popped throughout training camp in his second year. Remember, he's made the move from safety, so things were not clicking for him all the way last year, but he did get a significant amount of playing time. And now in year two, he looks more like a linebacker. He's changed his body a little bit. I still think they're going to roll Cedric Gray out there as the starter, but I expect to see heavy rotations between him and James Williams.
I agree. What are your thoughts, though, on mixing that up? Like Cedric Gray, the first two downs, James Williams, the third down, like in passing situations?
I think I'd like to see James Williams out there more for the passing downs, or the obvious passing situations, because of his history at safety and because of how long and lanky and kind of the speed that he provides at linebacker. I think he was too slow for a safety, so you move him to linebacker, so now he's considered quicker for a linebacker. I think that'll help the Titans in pass situations, whereas Cedric Gray, I believe, has more of a nose for the football, so that will help more on the run situation.
Yeah, he's a more natural player as far as the linebacker. And that's understandable, being as though he's played that position more than James Williams did. But let me throw this one out to you. What about three safety looks? We know Denard Wilson is very, very defensive back based. We know that a guy like Kevin Winston Jr. could be your tight end eraser, so to speak, like Dane Cruikshank was to a degree a few years ago. We know that Quentin Jammer. I was talking about his brother, his cousin. I almost mentioned Quentin Jammer. I did, instead of Quandre Diggs, but we know Diggs could come up and play in the box too, and he still got some range. And Monty Hooker obviously could tackle. He reminds me of Malcolm Jenkins, by the way. I told him that when he was coming out, and I'm like, you know, you're very similar to him to me. But then you also look at Xavier Woods. What do you think of, like, three of those guys on the field at the same time?
Are you talking about, like, having a nickel and that counts as your third safety, or just three safeties in general?
Three safeties. I'm talking about dime situation.
Dime situation?
Yeah.
I think we could definitely see a mix of that. I would not put that past Denard Wilson to do that. He's very defensive back. That's just the way he thinks. So I could see that certainly being the case on, let's say, a third and long. You throw three safeties out there, having a Kevin Winston out there who's not afraid to mix it up if he has to, guarding a bigger player like a tight end. I could certainly see something like that happening.
Yeah, no, that would definitely be something that you're going to – hey, look, against the Texans, right? You got Dalton Schultz. You got a matchup against him. The Colts.
Tyler Warren.
They got Dallas Clark, part two. Yeah. Tyler Warren. I got to see what number he's wearing, because if he's wearing 44, man, that'd be hard. But, yeah, I think that's where Kevin Winston could really come into play. He's 84. When you look at Kevin Winston and Junior and how much he's been out, do you think that's an issue?
Certainly. I don't gloss over that. I think it's going to take him a while to get used to, because he has been practicing, but he's going against the same people every day. Mm-hmm. So now he's going to be facing up against different players, some of which are higher caliber. So it's going to take him a while, I believe, to get used to that, and especially, you know, everything that's happened with his ACL, the soreness and the setbacks. I think it's going to take him a while, certainly.
Yeah, yeah, and then you have a bit of hamstring situation, soreness there too that he dealt with. So there's a lot for him to work his way through. Let's give a couple awards out. And, you know, before we wrap this first segment up, your performer of camp offensively is?
I'm going to say Gunnar Helm. I'm going to say Gunnar Helm. I was between him and Ellick just because they are everything that I've expected them to be so far. I was super high on both of them in the draft process. I'm happy that they ended up here in Nashville. Gunnar Helm is going to be the future of this tight end room. And who knows Chig's future with this team? He could be on the roster next year, could not be. But if you have to turn it over to Gunnar Helm in year two, I could totally see that being the case. I think I can't get over the fact that he was drafted around the same time as Cam Ward. They're going to get to grow together. He was a safety blanket for Quinn Ewers at Texas. I think he'll be the exact same thing for Cam Ward here. So Gunnar Helm's my performer of camp.
That's a good one. Offense. That's a good one offensively. I tell you, before he got hurt, I was going to go Tajay Spears because of the energy that he was bringing, you know, and juice that he brought to practice. So I'm going to shift from there, and I'm going to stay with you on the pass catcher side of things. And Bryce Oliver, you know, James Prochet was close. But that darn Bryce Oliver, literally every day, you know, every day I'm like.
Just keep showing up.
80 did this. 80 did that.
Kind of like Julius Chestnut.
They both
just stick around and just keep making plays and just earn their way.
That one-hander that he had in the end zone right in front of the patio, I think Baker was in coverage on that one. Or Brown. It was Baker, yeah, because Brownlee's on the left side mostly. But, yeah, I mean, look. It's just whether it's the go route. Remember Levis threw the one and it got tipped and he caught that thing and then scooted to the end zone. And then in traffic, he makes the catches. He's my guy offensively best performer of training camp. Let's go on defense.
I'm going to take the easy way out and go Cedric Gray just because of the last two preseason games. But, man, it's just – you were really high on him last year coming out of the
draft.
Remember. I remember.
Yeah.
And he – you know, there were some concerns there in the first year. But, man, like, it really – you can just see it like, oh, it's really clicking for him. And it, just the plays he's made in the last two preseason games, it's so nice to see that you're getting a value out of a fourth-round pick like that. And I think he'll be a significant contributor for this team in the fall.
Yeah, I mean, look, 80 tackle season, it's going to be – this is what it's going to be, and I'm looking forward to this because it's going to be a race to the football. Cody Barton, Cedric Gray,
man,
Amani Hooker. Who's going to get to the ball first? You know what I mean? And obviously,
it's going to be a race.
The linebackers, they have the advantage, right, unless Hooker's playing in the box, which I think he will at times. But nevertheless, that's going to be fun seeing that. And that's a big thing, right, swarming to the ball carrier. This team doesn't want you to run on them. They better – make sure that they swarm. I'm going to go best performer. You know, I want to stay at the linebacker position because Cody Barton stood out. But, you know, I'm going to go Jarvis Brownlee Jr.
Okay.
And for me, yeah, Ridley got him a couple times. But I like the leadership that he introduced. He showed signs of being a leader last year as a rookie, but
yeah,
this year, when you look at, hey, he's like, man, listen, I don't mind the fighting. Like, that's good. We need that. You look at during practice, you know, he's going and talking to the other DBs. You look at his play. You talk about Alec Iremanner and having to be more consistently tough.
Going up against a guy like Jarvis Brownlee is going to help him.
It's going to help him. And one of the things that really made me like, wait a second. Maybe that intuition I had about the consistent toughness about Iremanner is true. The thing that made me really bring that back into my mind, I saw Iremanner. It was a running play. He released off the ball. He tried to engage with Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Man, Jarvis said, get off me. Put his hands on him and put him right down on the ground. 2-point takedown if it was wrestling. You know what I mean? So I think when you look at what he brought to the table, it was very impressive there. Real quick, before we get out of here, biggest surprise of training camp?
I'm going to say I could go two ways here, but I'm going to go the offensive line because the offensive line has really like – and they're going up against – the backups in these preseason games, but there are times Cam Ward has had 4 seconds to throw. And that's just something we haven't seen in Nashville over the last 3-4 years. And if the offensive, that's going to be an X factor. If the offensive line's able to protect Cam Ward, there's nothing that can boost a quarterback's confidence like having a good run game and having an offensive line that you know is going to protect you.
Mm-hmm. My biggest surprise is offensive line, and you're 100% right, but it's Jalen Duncan. I know he's not around, but this dude came back to OTA's mini camp training camp, and it was like, the nonchalant is gone.
No, there was none of that.
You care now. And I was trying not to say that when I interviewed him, and I just said, it seemed like you're more involved, more dialed in, and he talked about it was the opportunity. Somebody's going to get him. I really hope he goes to a team. I didn't see him on the transactions yet, but I hope he goes to a team that has a coach that's going to get on, like the Eagles. I would love to see him go there. I know he's not going to get an opportunity to play behind Jordan Mailata and Lane Johnson, but I would love to see Jeff Stoutland get him.
Man.
See what Andre Diller called the Tasmanian Devil. And that dude, he gets after it. Like, he will dog
best curse. Offensive line coach in the NFL.
Yeah, he and Bill Callahan, they right there neck and neck. I mean, and I got to see them both, so it's been a blessing. But I like that. That's definitely on the same page there. We're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll hit this Run TMC up, and then we'll be right back.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD.
Come on. Yeah. Music fades, the lights dim. Hey, we're gonna go down south though. North Carolina. And now, coming to you live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Starting a small forward for your Hornets. Out of Richmond University. Number 4. Johnny Newman.
And now, starring in the movie Family Matters, Kellen Winslow.
Okay, for all that matter, we're going to keep it going. And and now, What's Happening, featuring Roger Thomas.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's cold. Wow.
I could wind it up now, but time is limited, let's get right into this. As soon as you got on the phone, the first thing you asked was, they cut James Prochet. Did they do that?
What?
What are your thoughts there?
He's been the bright spot, one of the bright spots in camp. I mean, he's been making plays. I don't know what happened. I don't know if they wanted to go with somebody younger, because I know they didn't draft for Strip, or they got him undrafted. But did they want to go that
route? And he ain't make it either.
Yeah, I know he didn't make it either, but then he's coming back with the practice squad. But so he's still kind of, quote, on the team a little bit. But they didn't even bring James Prochet back even on the practice squad.
Yeah, which is surprising, because I thought at the very least – and not on the practice squad from a developmental prospect, but
right.
from a, hey,
yeah.
we're going to call you up 3 times and then figure out what we could do,
right.
how this roster looks. And if we could keep you on, we'll keep you on. If not, then practice squad the rest of the year. So I'm surprised by that, too.
And then another one I'm surprised about is Jalen Duncan. You know what?
We're going to talk about that next. There are things with that. I want to get into Prochet a little bit more. When you look at Chimere Dike,
right,
that's the returner. But what's so intriguing to
me
is John Fossil, the special teams coordinator, coach, et cetera, last week he hinted at Dike not being ready. So I want to ask you, is it that makes a player ready to be a punt returner, a kick returner?
I mean, that's a great question. When you say a guy's ready, watch his body language. And when I say watch his body language, that when he's catching punts, he's not – you don't question if he's going to catch it. Now, you're not going to question if he's going to return it. You're not going to question, is he afraid to get hit? But if you're questioning him, then you don't have no answers, because you're believing that he's afraid to get hit. You're believing he can't catch the ball. You're believing – and you don't have confidence in him. So it's kind of confusing to me, because if you look at James Prochet, I know he hasn't had a lot of big returns, but he still had some experience of doing it in the NFL. Last year, he did it with the Ravens. And he actually did a little bit in college when he played with my son, CJ. So he had some experience of doing that. It's just kind of confusing that he had a great camp at wide receiver, but then he had a great, you know, camp overall. Why didn't you sign him? There's got to be something to that.
I think really it was a roster thing. They wanted to keep 6 and not 7 receivers. But to me, they had the luxury of an extra roster spot to play with Spears being on IR, you know, with designated to be returned. I think it's more of a developmental thing, too. They want to get DK that job. Here's my thing, though, because I think it was the Tampa game. Yeah, it was the Tampa game. I remember talking to Prochet before the game. He told me, he said, TD, I'm going to take one to the house. And if you remember that game, he caught one where I'm just like, bro, like, either fair catch or Peter that thing. don't haul that in. But he did, and he took off, and it was a pretty long return, but it got called back because I think Kinsey had a hand blocking the back. But anyway, do you think this franchise's outlook or possibility of finally breaking the punt return for a touchdown streak is in jeopardy, or do you think they're going to be able to break it soon? I don't think so.
I mean, I don't know. You got to find somebody that's fearless. I mean, this is me personally. The last big punt return that we have was Pac-Man Jones. That's just my opinion. He was a guy that could to be great at punt return. He can play cornerback. He can do all those things. But if you look at the guys that we named that are on this roster that has a little bit of familiarity of doing punt returns, who scares you? I mean, whoever you put back there is not going to scare you to take one of the distance. I mean, we can say anything can happen in the NFL, but just looking at the guys that you might put back there, I don't think that they scare you of getting a punt return.
I think the big thing is if DK could find a crease, like he has the straight line speed,
yeah.
But I'm with you. I think that streak, you know the last punt return for a touchdown. You know when that was, right?
What was it?
Does the name Darius Renault ring a bell?
Oh, wow.
December of 2012. Yeah, I told Mike Bergonzi that at the owners' meetings.
Yeah.
And if you saw his face.
Wow.
It was like I just told him that, you know, I don't know, his car needed an oil change. And he didn't know, or something like I try to go to something like it's not too dramatic. That's why I said it like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, look, it's crazy. So we'll figure out what happens there. Now that you look at this, Van Jefferson is the X, Ridley the Z, Lockett the slot. How do you like that trio of veterans?
I do. I like it a lot. And I'm going to tell you what I like it a lot is because you got Van Jefferson. Van Jefferson showed me a little bit last week. I know it's preseason. I know they were playing vanilla coverages. But when he caught like a little curl or hitch and he spun and he took it the distance, it showed a little bit of his speed because, you know, everybody questioned it. You know, why wasn't he on the field a lot last year or the year before? But now we get a taste of kind of seeing, okay, this guy has some ability. This guy can definitely run his route because his dad, you know, played in the NFL, in Miami. So this guy can play. This guy can make plays. So now you got Calvin Ridley that's going to get double teamed. So you have to have somebody that can make some plays away from him. Then you got Tyler Lockett, who I absolutely love. You know, last year he averaged 12.2 yards a catch. So he might not have those big chunk yards, but he's going to consistently – you know, keep the chains moving. And then you have the little young pups. You got Ellick, you got CD. So those guys have some good speed. They catch the ball at the highest point. They can run routes. So now you got five guys that have the capability of making plays. And I think that with this group right here, I think they have the potential to make some plays.
No, I agree with you, but I want you to do one thing, Chris. Put your hand out. Just put your hand out.
They out.
Okay, your hand is out. Is it straight?
Oh, my bad. Bryce Oliver, my bad.
Okay. I was definitely about to smack your hand, man.
I know. I know. But he's been balling, dog. Balling.
Yeah, but no, I agree. Van Jefferson, he had his get somewhere shoes on, man. And it was cool to see him take off, man. I kept thinking he was going to get caught, but he, great job
he
not getting caught. I mean, look, that safety yeah, I don't know if he's in the league at this moment. But regardless, great job there. I want to look at the tight end position also.
Ooh, yeah.
Gunnar Helm coming in. Well, no. Before we do that, we praise Van Jefferson, right?
Yes.
But how long do you think it takes before Alec Iomanner slides in at X?
It all depends. I mean, if Van Jefferson is not – consistent each and every week and he doesn't, you know, compliment Calvin Ridley, then I think he's going to be in there pretty quick because Van Jefferson's a good player. And I just think that, you know, I think he's going to, you know, take advantage of his opportunities. But then you got Ellick, who's a big time player that can make some plays and, you know, running routes and catching the ball, doing all the things that you ask. So these guys are going to play. I know if Van Jefferson is inconsistent, I think we might see him pretty quick.
Well, let me ask you this, because my biggest thing with Iomanner is consistency. Where, like, I don't always see that dog in him. I guess that's the easiest way to put it. You coach the position. How do you get that to be manifested?
See, the thing about it, I want to make sure people know when you have that dog in you, it's not about how much noise you make. It's just you're not afraid of anything. You're not afraid to make that tough catch. You're not afraid then a safety come down, you run through somebody's face. That's what it means to have a dog in him. And I think that with Calvin Ridley has that dog in him. He comes off the ball fast. He's mad.
Man,
even when you interview him, he's mad. He want to bite the dog on microphone. That's what I'm talking about. And I think with these guys, with Ellick, yes, you can run routes. Yes, you can catch the ball at the highest point. But when the game's on the line, can you have that dog in you to make that play? And it's gonna show this year if he has the potential to actually do that.
Yeah, no, I agree. The potential to do that is the important part. And you know, it's interesting just watching him play, because sometimes he'll make you, you know, like, wow, this dude really, he got it. But then other times you're like, okay, come on, man, I need to see more. So we'll see what happens there. I think it's going to be an exciting season for the young fella. And, you know, Cam Ward has already said, hey, this is a top five receiver group. But let me ask you this also. when you look at, because you mentioned Jalen Duncan, and, you know, we're not about to neglect the trenches, because I believe that that's a very important, if not the most important part. So tell me this. Why do you bring his name up?
You know, because he came in last year, he struggled. We already know that he did. He came in this camp, and he lost some weight, and his feet look better. I mean, we always talk about his feet looking bad, you know, last year. But I just think that he did something, and the switch came on. I mean, he looked like a totally different player than last year. He's physical. I mean, he has better feet. He understands what's going on. He's making his right reads. He's doing everything that you asked him. I don't know if it was because roster moves. I don't know if they had other guys that they had, you know, roles for. But I think this guy should have definitely been in the 53 roster.
Yeah. No, I it was tough. You know, and that was a tough competition. I'm going to tell you what it was. It was trust, man. After seeing the, you know, he's very nonchalant. You know what I mean? And it's, you watch him and you wonder, like, bro, do you really care? You know, and you know he does. But right. I joke with people sometimes. I say, like, he's the guy that a coach will walk up to and say, man, you just big for nothing. You know what I mean? But this year, it's different. You know, I think he is definitely a guy that should have been kept around. But I'm going to tell you what's interesting. He didn't even make the practice squad.
Oh, my God.
Now, your guy, James Prochet, is on the practice squad. So that's a exciting thing for you. And I think it's good for the Titans. It's the right move to make. So we do have that. That's something that just came out. Recently,
good,
we're recording on Wednesday, folks, so definitely understand that we're not late on it. We're just bringing it to you as it comes along. So,
but that's good. Yeah. Now you got your returner.
Yeah, now you got your guy. I mean, for three games, you know what I mean? You got to figure out the other 14, what you're going to do, but at least for three, you know, you got your guy if you want him. And maybe that give DK a little bit of time to just settle into a groove. I think that's the case. But just back to Duncan, you look at him and you look at – some of the other guys, right? So you got Duncan, you got Brandon Crenshaw Dixon, you got John Ojukwu, who just missed it, you know, because he got released on Wednesday after they added players. But then you also got Ali Udoh, who is just like, he made a meteoric rise up to right there. Like, he was the first guy, you know, like first guy when one of the tackles comes out. He was the first guy off the bench.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if his numbers. I don't know if this guy can play every position. You just don't know. But you said something so profound that when somebody got hurt, he was the first guy to be out there. That shows you that the coaches trust him to where, you know, our top guy's going, we can put you here, there, whatever we need you to play. So maybe that was a sign. Maybe that's the reason why they didn't keep Jalen Duncan, because maybe he could only play one position and maybe the other guy can play multiple positions. So we just don't know what's actually going on in the meeting rooms. But, man, when you work hard to get there, you lose weight, you do everything right, you're playing physical, you're playing consistent in every play and cap, it's just a head-scratcher. But at the end of the day, that's the direction they're going, and that's what we got to roll with.
I can confidently tell you, trust.
Trust.
That is the issue.
God. Yeah.
Duncan came back, and he played well. He had a solid game, you know. But the trust is, you know, you break the trust, that's a hard thing, man. So.
Absolutely.
We'll see. Absolutely. Another guy I did want to bring up, because he's also on the practice squad now, is Andrew Rupchich. And he's a small school guy. They undrafted free agent a couple years ago, and he's just managed to find a way to stick. But, Chris, he could play left tackle, right tackle, left guard, right guard. What if you want him to play?
No. Hold on. Did you hear what you just said?
Yep.
He played multiple positions.
So he's on the practice. I thought that was going to get him onto the roster. In fact, that was one of my misses.
Right.
I missed on Rupchich. I missed on Prochet. And I think there was one more I missed on. But my 53, man, was pretty accurate. It was one of the most accurate in the market, not to brag. And I didn't even know it till Nick Suss pointed it out to me. So. I think PK and I were tied. I don't know. I think I have 51 and he had 50. Either way, we're right there. But nevertheless, man, this is this is a great time, because everything is just it's flowing out. Yeah. Flowing out. We're working towards December. Excuse me, not December. Denver. And that's one that we're going to preview next week for the show. But, yeah, man, ooh, before we get out of here, though, I got to tell you. I was watching.
Oh, my God.
Malcolm X. Right? And I never would have thought of it until my daughter said it. You know, the part where he's like, get your hand out my pocket. She was like, I never would have thought Chris Sanders would say something like that. And I said, oh, no. That's not Chris Sanders. That's some other actor.
Well, get your hand out my pocket.
This is Arden Key, and I'm talking with TD.
In my race against time, I can't stop.
Back from the break, talking with TD. That's a banger right there. Race Against Time, that Ja Rule. Hey, he's going to be at Ascend Amphitheater on September 16th. That's Ja Rule. Man, he took Ashanti from me, you know what I mean? But it's all right. It's all right. It's all good.
But TD, you're hitting on two different.
Hey, listen, man. You know, it is what it is. Shoot or shoot.
First,
you know
Keisha
saying?
Cole and now.
Yeah. Hey, man, they both baddies. So whoever, you know. Nah, all jokes aside, man. We're going to wrap this show up with this last segment. I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping and clean up some things that we've gone over and just put a ball around training camp. And I guess for me, let's look at it this way. I'm going to give you my biggest question coming into camp that was answered. And I'm going to ask you to do the same. And I'll kick it off. I'll get my my Frankie Lindor on bat leadoff here. And here we go. I had a lot of questions about the offensive line. You got Lloyd Cushenberry, who you didn't know how he was coming back from the Achilles. You had Daniel Moore Jr., who is a free agent signing. And I think, you know, Dave Ziegler said it best. He said, you know, if you want to live in the offensive line neighborhood, you got to pay the premium. You know what I mean? If you want to live in Brentwood, guess what? It's going to cost you a little bit more money. And it's just the same. If you want to sign an offensive lineman, it's going to cost more money. And obviously, there are some people who had questions about it. But, hey, nevertheless, I was curious how he would come in. And I think he's actually done pretty well, all things being considered.
Yeah, we haven't talked about the offensive line being an issue. No. And if we're not talking about it, it means it's not an issue. And even if this offensive line is average, you're a top 15, top 16, 17, somewhere in that range offensive line, that's a significant improvement from where this offensive line has been over the last 5 years.
Huge improvement. It allows you to actually open up the playbook. And you could call a play on 3rd and 10 and feel like you're going to have time to do so. So that's a really good thing for them to be able to do that. I think, you know, when you look at Daniel Moore Jr., that upgrades the left tackle position, possibly, but definitely upgrades the right tackle. And then, all right, so Kevin Zeitler, you're like, okay, this is a veteran player. I think he's going to be ready, but I don't know. Will he be ready? He didn't play preseason, but he did practice. You got to see him, man. He and Jeffrey Simmons had some battles. I ain't going to hold you. Simmons folded him like a church banquet chair a couple times. But, I mean, Jeff is going to do that to most guards. You know what I mean? But then you look at Skoronski, too, and you talk about not talking about the offensive line, right? I interviewed him. We did a one-on-one. And I said, hey, Pete, man, I didn't really talk to you at all during camp. I guess this is a good thing, huh? And he was like, yeah, no doubt. So you do have that. I think there are some answers that came to my questions because – we know with Corey Levin not being retained, practice squad, or even 53-man, we know that means, hey, Lloyd Cushenberry's ready to rock. It also means Jackson Slater, you know, did enough to show that he could be the backup center.
Yeah, they're going to be – he's going to be drinking water from a fire hose because he didn't get a whole lot of reps at center, mm-hmm. Especially with that second group, or if he even has to step into the first group, fingers crossed he doesn't have to. But that shows that they're confident in him. And going back to Skoronski, he's actually playing next to a competent center. And now he has a left tackle who's actually been playing left tackle in the league for the last few years, whereas J.C. Latham was a rookie. Right tackle is his natural position, but he was drafted to play left tackle originally. Now he's flipping back over. So you're playing next to an experienced left tackle, an experienced young center who is towards the top of the league in that category. And now we really get to see the best of Peter Skoronski. And Kevin Zeitler, too, was great with the Baltimore Ravens, was great with the Lions last year. And now he's playing next to JC, who's in his second year playing his true natural position. And on paper, this offensive line looks so much better. And even the short film that they've been able to put out there in the preseason games looks worlds better.
Yeah, there's time for the quarterback to make some things happen. All right, what's your surprise, your question that was answered?
I'm flipping over to the defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to say inside backers because I believe most of us viewed the inside backer as a complete and total wild card question mark before all this offseason training started, and it's proven to be one of, if not the strength of this defense, because the secondary, I still have a lot of questions, concerns about the edge rushers. I'm concerned about. I'm not really as concerned about the interior of the defensive line, but Cody Barton, I mean, I'm not sure if you saw that clip from the Vikings game of him directing everybody on defense where to go. Mm-hmm. He knows, it's like he knows every single position and what they're supposed to do. So having somebody as cerebral as he is back there and playing next to Cedric Gray and James Williams, who have both taken leaps and strides in year two, at least in the preseason, that gives me a lot of confidence when I originally thought that the inside backer position was going to be a point of weakness for this team.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, it's a strength now. I mean, I think you got three solid ones, so I feel that is going to be a critical part of this team, especially stopping the run. And Barton, I believe, is going to find the areas that he's going to find the football. Just got to make sure that you don't have, like, that Colts game, I think, was a good example. But then again, these guys were rookies, you know what I mean? But they missed their gaps, and Jonathan Taylor hit it, and it was a house call. They need to make sure that, and that's something that James Williams told me that is really helping him. Working with Cody Barton is about keeping his eyes where they need to be. Those are super, super important things to have in motion. So I like that, pointing that out. I think if you had to say what was your biggest disappointment, what would that be?
The safety, or really just the secondary group in general, because they didn't flash like I thought they might. Amani Hooker is, you know, he's proven. Xavier Woods, I didn't see as much of him as I originally thought that I might. Of the corners, outside, we've barely seen anything from L'Jarius Sneed as he was activated off the PUP last week. But you have Daryl Baker, you had Gabe Judy-Lawley, who was running with the ones for a little bit, Roger McCreary out there. But they just didn't flash, at least in practice, like I hoped that they might. And I'm hoping I'm wrong once the regular season gets here, but I have a giant question mark next to the entire secondary group. I really hope they improve by the time the season gets here.
Yeah, you know, my biggest disappointment, honestly, was I hated to see Treylon Burks get hurt. I really wanted to see him get one more chance to just go for a fifth year. Now, obviously, it probably wasn't going to be with the Titans, but you know, I wanted to see him get an opportunity, but obviously that didn't happen. So that would be where my disappointment was. It is what it is. And I will say this, another disappointment was the Will Levis situation. You know, obviously it would have been a little hairy, right, with him being around, but I think he would have been a good soldier. The way he was talking in minicamp, you know, was positive as far as like, hey, I'm just going to be the best quarterback I could be and make sure I'm ready if and when my name's called, and that's the right approach. Unfortunately, the shoulder was what the shoulder was, and it's something that he had the procedure on. I mean, I get it. I understand going ahead and making sure that you're healthy. So that way there are no questions for whatever team should sign him next. But, man, like, that was it was pretty quick. Like, it went through pretty quick. So, actually, what not sign him, but – trade for him. You know, I would imagine they're going to deal him at some point during the offseason. So,
and I'd like to see him end up with a Shanahan, with a McVay, some sort of offensive guru who maybe can look at it as a reclamation project almost, because his stint in Tennessee was very, very short. And you're hoping that a guy who had a lot of physical traits coming out of college, Kevin O'Connell's the one with the famous quote, "The organization fails a young quarterback before a young quarterback fails the organization." So for a guy like Will Levis, who has handled this whole Cam Ward situation about as maturely as you possibly can, because it is an emotional roller coaster, you hope that he ends up in a situation that leaves him better off than how this time in Tennessee has treated him.
Perfect spot for Will Levis, Kansas City. Gardner Minshew is the backup right now, but go ahead out there and talk to Patrick Mahomes and learn how to not care about what anybody says and just play your game. That's a good, and then obviously under the tutelage of Andy Reid, that's going to be huge for him. So, yeah, that's the show. Appreciate you for tuning in, man. Listen, training camp, it came and it went. The season is here. Next week we'll preview the Broncos. We got Jeff Legwold, ESPN, NFL Nation Broncos reporter. We're going to kick that off. So definitely appreciate each of you for tuning in. Check us out on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, anywhere. Get your fine listening materials. Search Talking with TD. Subscribe, rate, review.